This is a WTOP original podcast.
From Podcast One.
Coming up in this episode of Target USA.
The way this war ends will define the future as we will know it.
Christian Prick, ambassador from Estonia to the United States with a stark warning.
And not just the future of people in Ukraine.
He says the outcome will impact the entire region, and not just that, the rest of the world as well. And this, he says, is the most important thing of all.
That we stick together and that we also acknowledge the opportunities if we get this thing right.
Getting it right will take time, a lot of money, and as already has been demonstrated, it will take lives in Ukraine.
Coming up on this episode of Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.
From WTOP in Washington, D.C., this is Target USA. Russia
could render huge harm to this country.
North Korea's secret missile
capable of reaching the whole of the United States.
Dangerous terrorist.
D.C. is repeatedly mentioned as someplace they would like to seek an attack.
Cyber criminals.
Decryption successful.
America has a target on its back. And on this program, we investigate the threats, the people behind them, the agencies fighting them, and the impact on you. This is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.
I'm J.J. Green. Okay, we're here today with Ambassador Christian Prick from Estonia. Ambassador, thank you for coming by to spend some time with us today. We want to talk about a few issues. Specifically, Estonian defense issues, Estonian geopolitical issues. And of course, we can't start without talking about the war in Ukraine. So first of all, welcome.
Thank you, JJ. It's a pleasure and honor to be here and certainly very interested to share our views regarding the defense and security issues, not only in our region, but also in a wider transatlantic space.
Estonia has been a leader in the region, in fact, around the world, for a number of years when it comes to issues relating to Russia, because Estonia has had its own issues with Russia. So could you just tell us right off the bat, at the very beginning here, what Estonia's view is of Russia's war against Ukraine?
Yeah, it's certainly something that should not and cannot be considered an isolated event, and certainly not something that should be considered as a simply a war that that has its own very limited aims. As we see it, this war is part of a wider picture. And just as important as Ukraine is for the current Russian leadership, this war is very much about wider objectives. This war is against certainly the European security architecture and how exactly different countries can reach their aims. But it certainly also has a more global impact. And whatever happens in Ukraine will influence the security, global security, certainly for decades to come, if not for longer time.
Estonia, back in the 2000s, was attacked by Russia digitally or essentially electronically, and you sounded the alarm to the rest of the world about some of the capabilities that Russia had at the time, and since that time have become a digital leader around the world when it comes to cybersecurity, and a lot of countries have learned from you. And I'm wondering, have you seen Russia deploy any of that activity during the course of this war with Ukraine? Because everybody was thinking at the beginning there was going to be this big cyber attack, just like what happened with Georgia and then other things, but we haven't seen much of that. What has Estonia seen?
What we're seeing is that under the surface of this ugly and tragic conventional warfare, There's certainly a layer of also digital warfare. We've seen it not only from day one, but the, let's say, preparation of battlefield actually started way earlier. Certainly, there were instances of certain bugs being implanted in different critical systems in Ukraine, as well as attempts to exploit the vulnerabilities of the systems or the bugs that were implanted in the system. However, as we see, what we see is that that firstly, Ukrainians have been resilient, smart. They've been able to most likely evade some of the attacks, fight back some of the attacks, and in many cases also the Russians most likely have intended to exploit the very systems themselves, and for that reason have not been willing to take the systems down. Particularly, it applies to the communications systems. As we've seen throughout the war, the Russians are quite often actually relying on commercial cell phone systems and so on, because of the lack of proper independent or military comms in their own disposal. So there's a lot of things going on under the surface, mm-hmm. but certainly the Russians have not been succeeding as much as they've intended to.
How is Estonia helping Ukraine? What are you doing to assist them with your knowledge and whatever else that you're giving them or helping them with? How are you helping them?
Yeah, what I have to say is that when it comes to the war in Ukraine, there's this Russian full-scale war against an independent sovereign nation in Europe. Again, just the perception of people in Estonia is that that this is not just war somewhere else in some other country, but they feel very well that this is the attack, the war against, let's say, our world, our way of life, and in many ways also the war against our own security.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important. Why this is important? Because when we talk about Estonian support to Ukraine, we have to be very aware that this is not just government support. This is not just let's say official Estonia supporting Ukraine, but this is a whole of nation effort. I personally don't have single member of family or single friend who hasn't one way or another in supporting Ukraine, either through grassroots efforts or some other way. Now, talking about the most visible kind of support, Estonia was among the very first countries to send lethal military assistance to Ukraine before the war started. Because the sign was certainly out there, and we felt that we need to help Ukraine to fight back. As of now, we are talking about approximately 1% of our own GDP, the military assistance that Estonia has given to Ukraine since the beginning of this year. Again, 1% of GDP, which is around close to one third of our own defense budget, and we've sent pretty much the ammunition, the equipment, the gear across the board, starting from anti-tank missile rocket launchers or anti-tank mines to rifles, to ammunition, to howitzers, to winter gear, to personal protection equipment, to vehicles, so on and so forth. The list is very, very long, and and we are constantly trying to find additional ways how to support Ukraine. Certainly, this is not the only way we're supporting. There is a very strong humanitarian aid effort, both from the government as well as from different NGOs and so on and so forth. But what I would particularly emphasize here is the assistance that we are giving to Ukrainians by welcoming the Ukrainian refugees, mostly women, kids, and the elderly, to Estonia. We have received around 4% of our population of Ukrainian refugees. So in the context of the US, that would amount to around 12, 13 million people in the duration of this past nine months. This is considerable, and yet we don't have any refugee camps in Estonia. We've been able to find proper shelter to all of them. We are providing the same universal healthcare that our citizens or people with residence permits get in Estonia. We found the ways how to send the Ukrainian kids to school and so on and so forth. So this is a massive effort, which often doesn't get as much attention as the military gets, but this is important too.
Yes. I know a couple of people who are actually helping refugees in their homes, their houses or summer houses or other places that they're not living. And that's pretty remarkable, making sure that they have medical care. I mean, there are some efforts that are transformational that are teaching the rest of the world what to do and how to handle a situation, because I don't think anybody expected Europe to be in a war like this ever again after World War II, but yet here we are. Two more brief subject areas before time's up. I want to ask you about what's important to Estonia right now, geopolitically, whatever. What's the most important element for you and your country at this point?
Maybe this sounds as a cliche, but I have to say that at this point and at this juncture of time, and we can say that subject number one, two, and three for us is this particular war. We collectively have to get this thing right. We, as I said before, we don't consider this war as a thing in itself. We are certain that the way this war ends will define the future as we will know it, and not just the future of people in Ukraine, but also people in the certainly the people of let's say NATO eastern flank, but even more. And we certainly believe that the results of this this war and the lessons from this war will also guide the way the global security will develop in the coming decades. This will give important lessons to countries and leaderships, not only in Europe and in the transatlantic area, but also in Asia, in Middle East, and elsewhere. So we consider it extremely important that we do acknowledge the risks involved with this particular conflict, but we don't that we stick together, and that we also acknowledge the opportunities. If we get this thing right, we should not be afraid. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't get spooked by the Russian tactics of fear, pain, and sometimes crumbles of hope. So fear whenever they come up with something new, like dirty bomb or tactical nuclear weapon or something like that. Pain when they attack electrical power circuit in Ukraine, or when they close the natural gas tap to Europe. And hope whenever they show their alleged readiness to negotiate, but without giving up their maximalist goals. We should stay the course, and if we do, then the rewards are global.
Very interesting. The last thing, your relationship with the United States. Can you characterize the relationship?
It's deep, it's long, but it's centered around security. Now, this year, we celebrated 100 years of diplomatic relations between the United States and the countries of Estonia, and also our other neighbors, Latvia and Lithuania. Even throughout the Cold War, when our countries were illegally occupied and annexed by the Soviet Union, the United States never recognized our status as occupied and annexed. Our people appreciate it very much and remember it very well. And certainly, when it comes to our relationship, we have excellent relations through the Estonian community in the U.S. We have increasing and improving economic ties. We have nice cultural events and everything, but security is in the middle of this relationship. Mm-hmm. And we like to think that this is not just a one-way relationship. It's not just us benefiting from everything that the U.S. can globally do, but we really believe that we are a good ally. You can count on us when the U.S. Needs help, support, maybe sometimes a bit of advice, we are there when allies need our help. So whether it's something in our neighborhood or farther away, we are ready to tackle the global challenges together.
Ambassador, thank you. I appreciate this. I appreciate your candor and the approach that you're taking to explaining this, because we Americans have been locked into this war for the same amount of time as everyone else has, but we are looking at it from afar. But you are right there in the thick of it. You're not in Ukraine, but you're right next to them, and you understand probably better than almost anyone what kind of enemy Russia has been to that region. So thank you for laying it all out and being very clear about it.
Thank you, JJ. And let's stick together and let's push through it.
That's it for this episode of Target USA. Coming up in our next episode, unrest in China.
It's very simple, I think. People are fed up with being locked down at home.
Francesco Cisci, longtime China journalist and analyst, says people are watching the rest of the world, and they're not happy about what they're seeing at home.
I mean, people are following the World Cup of football. Football is the most popular sport in China, and they see there the stadiums are totally free. People don't wear masks, and they see, on the contrary, that China, almost three years after the outbreak of COVID-19, is still fully locked down in COVID-19.
That's coming up on the next episode of Target USA. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments about the program, send me an email. You can reach me at jgreen@wtop.com. The letter J, the color green, one word, at Whiskey Tango Oscar Papa. jgreen@wtop.com. Also, please subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Twitter. We're at TUSA Podcast. That's at Tango Uniform Sierra Alpha Podcast. And if you want more national security news, you can sign up for my newsletter. It's called Inside the Skiff, and you can sign up at WTOP.com/email.
I'm J.J. Green, and this is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.
For 9 years, a man terrorized women across the D.C. region.
The more the victims resisted, the more violent he became.
Breaking into homes and raping his victims before killing a brilliant young scientist in 1998. Then he suddenly stops, leaving police with a lot of clues and one unknown subject.
I'm Paul Wagner. Join me for Unknown Subject, Season 3 of WTOP's American Nightmare podcast series, available October 4th on all podcast platforms.